certain theory or certain practice which is related with compassion. Now that part I will speak in Tibetan. I think if I speak Tibetan, then firstly I can express more easily and more thoroughly. Then secondly, you also have a chance to hear what is Tibetan, what is Tibetan language, isn't it? Adinda.
There's not much force in just repeating the words. I must cultivate compassion. Rather, one must meditate. When we first of all try to cultivate compassion, we should choose a specific being who is close to us and whom we know is suffering badly. And then if you come to generate strong compassion with respect to that person, then extend that feeling on to other persons. Then since you've proceeded from the small or the specific to the general, then it's possible to consider compassion for all sentient beings.
Now here, when we practice compassion, you see, love. Here, I think, you see, there are two types. Usually, our ordinary compassion or ordinary, you see, kindness feeling. Here, sometimes we mixing with true compassion or true love with the attachment. So that is not very pure kind of love. So that is because of it influenced by attachment, it is limited. So here true compassion or true love without influence by attachment. Now that compassion or that love can reach up to enemy. Now here your enemy, what you call the practice toward enemy, practice of love toward enemy is something very important. If you can, if you can,
generate love,
generate love toward enemy, then other people easily can,
generate love
to other people. So here the enemy is your real teacher. Through enemy's action, you can test your own inner strength. And also through enemy's action, you can learn tolerance. Through your friend or your own teacher, you can study about tolerance, but you cannot learn tolerance. But from enemy, you can learn real tolerance. You see, without tolerance, without patience, you cannot develop unlimited compassion, unlimited altruism. So from this viewpoint, enemy is not Tao Sayati, Mazu Kongu Sayati, Yu Daya Mare, Kudin Sayati, Yu Chimari.
Therefore, an enemy should not be a source of hatred, but a source of gratitude. Therefore, in many of our teachings, tolerance or patience is emphasized as being very important.
Shampen Bashik Lokiba Mado, 네 파트 늦이 라차베이나 말이야 수캡산데 용구를 삼베 이네 랜을 삼바 용구야 말이야
when one becomes used to such an attitude of compassion one single-pointedly wants to help others and is not seeking for some reward in turn for one's actions
근데 인도 안도 심상부 다 라차주 삼베
Therefore, bodhisattvas who have cultivated this mind highly are put emphasis on giving away even their own body, their resources, and beyond that, even the virtue that they get from giving away their own body and resources for the benefit of others. Therefore, from the very depths of their minds, they don't have even the slightest thought that through their altruistic actions, they will get some benefit in return for themselves. Now, in order to increase this attitude of compassion, it's necessary to practice it in union with the practice of wisdom.
Now,
the reason for this is that afflictive emotions such as hatred prevent the development of unlimited compassion. And in order to overcome hatred from the very root, it's necessary to know the actual and final status of phenomena. Now, I'm not going to talk about the actual status of phenomena. When that wisdom is conjoined with the force of compassion, then this is a practice that has an essence of emptiness and of compassion. This is the explanation in sutra. And this is a path of a union of method and wisdom. And in dependence on this, it is possible to increase the attitude of compassion limitlessly. Through being motivated by compassion, one meditates on emptiness and eventually thereby attains nirvana, then what capacity does one have once one has nirvana? Nirvana is a case of becoming free from adventitious defilements through their antidotes in the sphere of reality. Nirvana does not mean the severance of the continuum of mind and body. It is an extinguishment or removal of all of the afflictions that prevent liberation, this removal being into the sphere of reality. It does not refer to an extinction of mind and body. Therefore, a Buddha is capable within the sphere of the truth body or reality to create emanations in order to help others. This is the essence of the motive of the Buddhist motive procedure, with the path having an essence of emptiness and compassion. The very root of all of this, the root that makes all of this possible, is the fact that our mind basically is an entity of mere illumination and knowing. I have a great interest in the recent scientific work in the field of the relationship between brain cells and states of consciousness. In Buddhism, especially in the mantra or tantra systems, there's a great deal of explanation about the relationship between channels and states of consciousness. Since there's a good deal of study of Buddhism at this college, I imagine that some of you will be able to get some good ideas about compassion from the Buddhist teaching. Or if you're just interested in the field of knowledge, I imagine that you'll find very many interesting things in Buddhist studies. Thus, I have hopes for the development of this sort of study here. Would the ushers please bring up the questions that have been written out? Does somebody have a question? The first question is, what is the first step for an individual to take to move on to the path of the spirit of Buddhahood? It's very helpful if one first tries to develop compassion, and in order to do that comes to know the various types of suffering. Your Holiness, how can you forgive the Chinese for the terrible crimes they have committed toward your people?
Forgive them, Mr. Chaturis.
Samlu
It is from the point of view of having respect and gratitude for one's enemies.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, now, for example, you see, the deep understand the Chinese as a, I mean, same kind of human being. When that sort of, you see, feeling, with that feeling, when something happened in China, some tragedy, we are very much sorry. We are very, we equally feel sad and sympathy there. And also, you see, some good things happen in China. Automatically we feel happy. So now that is the, because of that, you see, practice, because of that feeling. Now, at the same time, the tolerance does not mean, does not mean,
it doesn't mean that you would just let an enemy continue doing wrong things. It is permitted that one engage in techniques to try to stop the enemy from doing these mistaken deeds. Next question. What is wisdom? Can one be born with wisdom? Can wisdom be taught? In order to develop wisdom, it's necessary, in order to develop wisdom to higher and higher states, it's necessary to train. However, due to training in past lifetimes, there are various levels of wisdom that people bring into this lifetime. How would you recommend? What would you recommend as the best way to integrate the Dharma and teachings on compassion into everyday American life?
American and compassion and teaching the Sokandes, implementing this.
I think, as I mentioned earlier, in daily life, in deep down, you, as I mentioned earlier, you see, these practice, you should carry in practice. And at the same time, on the surface, in some cases, in under certain circumstances, you may take, you may necessary to take a strong reaction. But even that cases, in deep down, you should not lose the compassionate thought. That can be done. So, so that is the only way. Now, if you are remain in complete isolation place, then you see something different. But when we, when we remain in the society, with a general way of life. Now, frankly speaking, you see, sometimes the old people are not honest. There are people who are something very strange. Under certain circumstances, you may take some certain strong reaction. But at that time also, in deep down, you should not lose compassion. So that's the only way.
I don't know in any more detail than that.
So you see, now these practice, you yourself experiment, some sort of, you yourself must carry experiment according to the circumstances. That is the Buddhist way of life. the broad idea you receive or you understand, then from that basis, through your own brain, you must research it, experiment. So that is the nangbe ko no yun de tu tumba chen yanu ta de shi chi.
The practice of Buddhism is to be done within the context of the present situation.
Thank you.
If love and compassion are inherent to human nature, why do we feel separate from it? Although we have some form of love and compassion now, we need to increase its force. What is the source of your humor?
I don't know. I think basically like this, I mean teaching. I myself sometimes you see, yeah, easy way story. She cares me, don't you? Easy way to the
story. I have an open and easy attitude. Easy.
And Jidan is perfect. Generally speaking, I think all Tibetan are jovial, jovial type. Though we lost our own country, this is sort of, you see, many, I mean, suffering and things, very difficult, yet we always be happy.
How does a person give love, be compassionate, and work? How does a person give love and be compassionate in working with sick people without taking on so much of their pain that you are unable to give any more? Compassion just increases in accordance with how much you cultivate it.
There's a question that yes.
Isn't it a superficial treatment of a deeper problem to say that anger and such feelings can be overcome by generating love, compassion? As I said before, it's necessary also to engage in the practice of wisdom. Compassion alone cannot overcome hatred. Is there such a thing as Buddhist politics? Would a Buddhist advocate a certain form of government? I don't think there's any particular explanation of Buddhist politics.
Mm. They continue their charity.
Since in Buddhism we are speaking about the welfare of society, one has concern for society and the means by which society is served. And one, the system one needs is the one that will help the most. In Buddhism, the mode of procedure of the monks and nuns is democratic. As it is in other religions also,
like Christian monks,
as in Christianity. How can we combine the benefits of technological and spiritual development?
Now this is very important. Now we must combine these two. The material progress is very helpful for human society. I think if we realize the basic human value then naturally, I mean, for missions, we feel just something we use it. When toward a human being is something above. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, the material progress or material, I mean, things are benefit or serving for humankind. So now the spiritual development, or the another word, just I feel that the milia zawachia the mean dushi chen da rinda tere mean dushi ji yebe tane milia zawachia de da mobu ya jeo ra de ne ro.
Since technological progress is for the sake of human beings, I think this is compatible with the development of a sense of valuing of human beings and a development of greater compassion for others. Therefore, this sort of material progress should be used just for the benefit of human beings without... Without losing one's respect for humans as being far more important than material progress itself.
I see.
Sometimes I can act loving and compassionate, but feel on a deeper level resentment and anger. What should I do with this anger? It's necessary to practice for a long period of time.
Now you see, these practice, inner development, it takes time, not easy task. Within just a few days or few weeks, here, I mean, in material sense, you are in such a develop, so you count minute. But in development, inner feeling, you cannot count minute or days or weeks. Rather years, you see, 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, then you can feel the real, real change. So here we need patience and determination. According to my own experience, these, as I mentioned earlier, you see, certain experience, limited experience, even these and limited experience, I mean, not a
This is not something that can be produced immediately. It must be done over a long period of time with continuous effort.
So at the beginning, go and practice Dharma at the beginning, you should not expect too much. If you expect too much, then I think it is not a good sign. It is a sign of failure. At the beginning, you too much expect. Then, after some time, you may lose your interest. So, like that.
As the last question, would you speak about the impact of Tibetan Buddhism in the world today and possibly your vision toward the future? Tibetan Buddhism.
Now here in talks, in religious seminar, in religious field, there is no boundary. So you see, lumba kene yine, yu kene yine, so so so, zhamba shunti ya korba.
No matter what area or country one comes from, there's some practice. There's some practice that is fit or suitable for oneself.
So you see, or some Western people may feel most benefit from Buddhism, and some people feel much more sort of suitable for Christian or Judaism or Muslim, so on like that, in Hinduism. So you see, variety of religion, variety of different ideology, different faith, I think it is something very useful for the
It's very useful, and one should use whatever is fit for oneself. Each religion has different techniques, and within Tibetan Buddhism, many techniques are set forth, so I feel it would be helpful.
So, thank you very much.
Newark Museum, October 15th, 1979.
I would like to begin by addressing the mayor of the city, Mayor Gibson, Mr. Miller of the Newark Museum, and friends of Tibet who have come here. I was very happy to see all the Tibetan exhibition here. And I believe the altar, which is on which is upstairs, I believe it was built, I was told that it was built in 1935. That's the same year I was born. So we are the same age. I believe that exhibitions of this nature are very helpful in introducing a culture. And I want to thank the people who are involved in this type of work at the museum here.
Since we are Tibetan, have some, what do you call, distinctive culture heritage. I think in material field we are a backward country, but in spiritual development, I think we are quite rich, and also we have the medical system. Just before I talk to some of you here, the Tibetan and value of Tibetan medicine, how much effective. According to my own experience, the Tibetan medicine for some, what you call the chronic disease. Very useful, very effective. So because of, you see, the Tibetan medicine is something very practical, effective. And, in Tibet also, now in Tibet, the even Chinese, though destroying deliberately all Tibetan culture, these things, accept Tibetan medicine. They respect, they are showing respect, Tibetan medicine. And they preserve an intact near Shigatse area. They made a factory which producing Tibetan medicine. And also in Kwambo area, I think two times they made some, we call Rinchen Rinpo.
Precious pill.
Precious pill.
Precious pill.
I don't know. But that Rinpoche Rikta Naga Yadala.
Those names.
You see, that pill made by many minerals, many, what called it? Rinpoche Nama.
Five precious
stones. Precious stones. And also the metals like gold, copper and silver like that. And then one of the most important things is vegetarian.
Mercury.
Treated mercury.
So because of the actual effectiveness the Chinese using and this medicine. So in any case, we Tibet, we have a quite rich culture. So through these and sort of exhibition, it can reach sort of other presentation.
Present Tibet in a proper light.
So I feel very happy to see these things. Then, my main talk is Devi Yoga. Now, as a living human being, these articles is something representing, but many culture, rich culture, not in thanga or not in article, but in insight. If we, certain aspect of that culture, fresh or alive in our mind, in our daily life, then we can know the real usefulness of that culture. So I believe in the general, generally speaking, Tibetans are quite jovial type, jovial by because of that culture, I think, mainly. I think many foreign visitors, come to India, who met a Tibetan. At the beginning, we ourselves did not notice about certain thing, certain our way of thinking. But many foreigners, after visiting Tibetan camps, various camps and this sort of thing, then they express, why you Tibetan are always living some sort of, you see, happy life there, despite your suffering. What is your secret thing?
Some people ask, what is the secret that you have?
There is nothing secret inside. But I think then gradually, I myself, including myself, we are wondering what is the main reason. Then I feel our culture, which based on Buddhism, the Bodhisattva, you see, Bodhisattva Yana, which is very much emphasis on compassion and kindness. So you see, many Tibetan even in those, I mean, illiterate there, illiterate. When they, I mean, pray, they say, you know, Rigrung, Hamasamja Thamja, Hamasamja Thamja, that.
All sentient beings, all fathers and mothers of the six types of beings. They're used to saying this all the time. Even somebody who looks like a ruffian or a robber is still someone who has in his mind and on his lips all the mothers, all the sentient beings.
I feel that teaching on, I mean, that sort of his idea, is I think the real source of happiness. So I myself also practice these things. And I think I gain some value in daily life, particularly when we face the tremendous difficulties and problems. With these ideas, we are equipped to face the problem more easily. So because of my own experience, this time wherever I go, I talk about compassion, love, and kindness. And also this is the practically all the world major religions have same view on the importance of love and sense of brotherhood and sisterhood.
Perhaps you may wonder why it is that we Tibetans keep talking about compassion, but then some of our deities are so fierce.
So it may be necessary explanation about deity yoga.
In general, it's important to know about the six types of migrators within that are presented in the Buddhist systems, and among these there are many different types of gods. There are many types of gods and demigods. Among gods, there are two types, those that are mundane and those that are super mundane. Among the mundane gods, there are the four of the formless realm, the 17 of the form realm, and the six of the desire realm. There are bad spirits, some of whom are included within animals, some within demigods, and some among hungry dogs. And then there are many types of spirits, the names of which I cannot translate. you should speak Tibetan.
Tibetan, how did you do it?
So therefore we accept that, that there are many societies of gods. In Virginia, I talked to someone who is analyzing sermons made by spirits. And he was asking what Tibetans think about this.
And I
said that we don't have any, we don't think anything special about these because we already believe in